Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. Welcome to this fifth day of October 2019 as we take a look at Are We Beyond It All? Ooh, it's going to be kind of a hairy one. I'm very grateful you chose to be with me on this beautiful day. We're very, very happy about entering into October. Very happy because, oh, how I love Halloween. I don't know about you, but I just dearly love it. It can be so much fun. Well, it's probably not the Halloween that most people think of with blood and gore. I'm a 1950s, 60s guy, so I'm looking at it from another point of view. But this is the month we're going to be doing some wonderful things with the Batmo Project. We're going to be helping children. We're going to Jacob's Heart. This is a wonderful experience of helping sick children, giving them a ride in the Batmobile, letting them, building support for their cause. And that's what the Batmo Project's all about, making it possible to help children at all sorts of different levels, not just one. So we're going to be working on fundraising for Jacob's Heart. We'll be in this beautiful Halloween parade. And then after, we're going to be at the Sunset Center here in Carmel. And we're going to be raising interest and insight into what it means to be a kindness crusader. That's what it's all about, kindness crusader with kids. And we'll be passing out kindness crusader information, how to be a kindness crusader and what that all means, and teaching children what it means to love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the basis of it all, bottom line. And I think it will be really wonderful, and I'm very eager to do this. I'm adding this to my hospice work and everything else that I do, because the only way to help people is to begin to help the children. You get to the cow through the calf, and you just never know what goodness can be there if a child learns what it means and is impressed by what it means to be a kindness crusader. So all of this is happening this month. We're very excited about it. We're all set up for it. The car arrives here in the next week or so. There'll be a big media thing and all of that. So it will be a lot of fun for everyone. And my goal is to help children. And that really is very, very important to me personally. Also, your donations make a lot of this possible. Without your tax-deductible gift, the Batmo Project would not be happening at all. And our mystery donor is matching donations to help us with our crusade for kindness here. And if you become a sponsor or you make a donation, a year-end donation to Aspire, that donation will be matched. And it would really be lovely if you became a sponsor and each and every month it would be matched. And that would help a great deal. That really, really would. We have many expenses, storage of the car, buying toys, clothing for the children who don't have clothes, believe it or not. There are many, many things that need to happen, and we're just going to do the best we can to make as much happen as you, the listening audience, allow. So this is your way of giving. This is your way of forgiving. This is your way of loving. And I hope you make a gift today to become a part of this very important event that we are going to be doing from now on until probably the day I drop. Are we beyond it all? That is the question of the day here on Aspire. Are we beyond it all? What in the heck is happening? Let me read you the questions. I get this lately. I'd love to know the ages of these people, but I don't. They just give me a name and then they tell me, you know, not to tell where they live. So there's this thing, you know, this stigma of not knowing where they live, and that's fine with me. So here's the first question. This one is from Clay. Don't you think that the world is beyond repair? Clay. He goes into a lot of different political, social, terrible things that humankind has brought on. And he's, in essence, saying, look at all this crap. Don't you think we're beyond it? You know, Clay, love you dearly. Is there a way to back it up? There is always the potential to back it up. Always. To back up what we've done and change the course of weather, change the course of helping people. But you have to understand, to change the course of humankind is not going to happen. It just isn't. We live instinctually. We live primordially. We live in hate and fear. We live via our DNA. We're a mess, and it isn't going to change. It's about money, money, money. Everything's about money. So when you are sitting there listening to me here and you're thinking, well, is Greg Penn and his quote-unquote philosophy going to change the world? No. What I am teaching has been taught for thousands of years. Thousands of years. It only changes individuals. It doesn't change masses of people. And it's very hard to change even an individual or help them change because they don't want to. If it becomes inconvenient or out of the nature of their DNA, out of the nature of their genetic strain, they're not going to do a doggone thing. Not one doggone thing. They're not. So with people minimally changing, just a few habits like washing out the container you use before you throw it into the recycle bin, you can't even get people to do that. And that when people don't wash out, let's say your yogurt container, and you don't wash it out and before you put it into the recycle bin, you mess up the whole the whole kit and caboodle, the machine that does all the work and starts grinding down everything and making it into recyclable material. Can't be done. It just can't. But who washes that out? Very few of us. Very, very few. And when you start to look at everything that has to be changed, it's habits. And habits are hard to change in human beings because they are, believe it or not, prehistoric, primordial. They go into themselves, their emotions, their ideas, their ideals. And then the next thing you know, it's one problem after another that we create. We, as human beings, are a virus, to say the least. And you can put all the religion or new thought or, you know, whatever you want to call what I teach or what anybody else teaches, and you can put it into a category, and you can teach it to your blue in the face. I've been teaching for almost 50 years. 50 years. And I haven't, you know, people will say, well, why do you keep teaching if it isn't doing anything, isn't working? I'm a Johnny Appleseed guy, okay? You remember the story of Johnny Appleseed? You maybe remember it from Walt Disney. He did a whole theatrical thing about it. Johnny Appleseed was a little boy, I'm just going to make it quick here, who took apple seeds and spread them all over the country. And he planted them all over. That's probably the best I can do is plant a few seeds. I had a workshop down in San Diego, and it was really wonderful. And this very interesting lady who I have never met, who's been doing my meditations and taking my discourses for over 5 years, said something to me on the way out. She said, you know, I was Catholic. Well, nobody ever recovers from the Catholic religion. It just is inherent in a person to feel bad, and that's what Catholicism's all about. But we'll get into that another time. Anyway, she said, we quit the church because of all the sex stuff that was going on with the priests and the children. Do you know And I admired her for that. My respect and admiration, just, I was so inspired by that. Do you understand? She is the only person in my many years of being a teacher who quit being Catholic over something that the Catholic Church says they deplore, but keeps it going. It's a rotten religion from head to toe. It truly is. And raping children or hurting a young man or a young woman or anything, you know, sexually is taboo. It just is. You don't do that kind of thing. So this lady had the courage to leave. And she has started her deep inner path with me, and she'll probably do very well because she knows the difference between emotion and passion, which has to do with emotionality and, believe it or not, prehistoric emotions that we store in our human body that have been there for centuries. And she'll probably do really well. I mean, if she's listened to 5 years of my discourses and has done all the meditations I've sent her, Tibetan pulsing meditations, she's pretty well established inside. This is rare. This is very rare. So are we beyond the, you know, change? Are we beyond reprehension? Are we beyond? Well, some people are. Very few. Very, very few. Some people see the whole thing for the way it is, how it is. They understand the meaning of what it is to have a life worth living. Go look at my series, A Life Worth Living. You might find it very interesting. Less than none and nonetheless, yes, we're pretty much over the top. We really are. And if you think that I'm being pessimistic, go look at history. If you look at history, you will see that history repeats itself over and over and over again. Over and over again. It never stops. It never ceases to amaze me the way in which we create war, famine, poverty, and self-destruction. It just goes on and on and on. And if you think this is going to stop, if you think there's a politician out there that can make it stop, you're crazy. Because it isn't about politics. It isn't about religion. It is about inner awakening. Awakening to love. I wrote a commentary on You Are the Loved of the Love. And it talks about how you are deeply loved inside, and you don't need another person to sanction you to be loved. You don't have to be perfect in order to be loved. It's a very hard concept, and I got, you know, quite a few little comments about it, like, well, that's out of the box. You know, you got to have other people, you got to please them to get them to love you. If you have to be coerced into pleasing me to get my love isn't worth your effort. It isn't worth it at all. There is something deep inside of all of us that is love, and that's the thing that most matters. That's the thing that is most important. So, Clay, are we beyond it all? Some people are, the majority, and there are a few of us that keep plugging away. Don't worry about the majority. Worry about what lives within you. Be focused on what lives within you. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Kenneth. He doesn't tell me where he lives either. I feel untouchable. I feel like I am floating around and I can't be reached. This world is just not a good place for someone like me. Help, Kenneth. Kenneth, it's not a good world for people who are overly sensitive, emotional, and live by the dictates of their emotionality. And a lot of people, especially women, love to think of it as passion. Ooh, I'm so passionate. I was talking to this very kind woman at a restaurant while I was down in San Diego doing a workshop. And I love their restaurant. And it's all health oriented. It's really, really well done. She said, you know, I am so passionate about it all. I was thinking, she said, in the middle of the night, I get these ideas and I just want to run down and, you know, start cooking. And I saw it in her eye. She sees it as a passionate affair. If your passion becomes what you think of as your zeal, you're going to eat yourself up. You're going to burn out. I've learned over the years to pace myself and not to put a lot of energy into emotionality. And that's why you kind of feel untouchable, like you're floating around at the whims of your emotions, is because you've given yourself over to emotionality. That has caused a great deal of pain and sorrow, I'm sure, in your life, and you're wondering why it has. Well, it has because emotions can be many things. One moment, your emotions can tell you, I love you. The next moment, those same emotions can say, I hate you. It can go back and forth and back and forth, over and over and over again. And before you know it, you're like a tennis ball going back and forth, being hit by one emotion, then being hit by another, and then another, and you don't know who you are, where you are, why you are. The object of the game, if you really want to know what inner work is all about, it's really very simple. It's about simplicity, solitude, and silence. And if you learn these three things, and you learn how to do them well, and you can articulate them in your life one way or another through your acts, your words, your deeds, then things begin to look different to you. Will the world change? No. But your world will change. And how it will change, I can't tell you, because everybody has their own way of dealing with their lifetime in this world and their karma, and I can't tell you how that's going to pan out for you. But I can tell you it will be constructive, it will be beautiful, it will be meaningful. I can guarantee you that. But are you going to do it? Probably not. Why? Because we're not willing to do the following things. I'm going to give them to you to help you. May this serve you well. First of all, do not talk to your thoughts. Do not give them the light of day in you. Don't sit there and ruminate over your thoughts and have conversations with your thoughts. Look for the pause, the gap between each and every thought. Practice watching. Practice being in third person. Practice just watching every thought that crosses your mind. That is very, very important. Very, very important. Then as you go a little further and you're not talking to them anymore, you will start to realize your emotionality and what is going on in your emotions, and you will start to see your emotions for the way they are. What are my emotions doing? What is this thing called emotion, and how is it working? You'll start to see they are based in prehistoric need for survival. You and I are what Darwin talked about, you know, survival of the fittest, okay? And we are just trying to be that survival. So when you start looking at the world, it's a very, very harsh place. It is. And if someone were to say to you, well, it wasn't meant to be that way, that would be ridiculous, absurd to even say something like that. It is that way. It's in this world, we are natural born killers. We kill meat. We eat meat. We are always looking to get the killer deal. And when something good happens or it's exciting, doesn't everyone say, well, that was killer? Why do you think people say these things? Because we are killers. And we do the things we do, and we kill the way we do for the sake of our own survival. That isn't going to change. So if you can do these two things, not react to your emotions and not talk to your thoughts, but sit and watch them, get a distance on them, and start to see what they want you to do, what is their motivation, then you have something very unique and special. Then you are in control. Then you are doing something, well, that is absolutely beautiful. It's called transcendence. And Kenneth, any one of us can do it if we put our heart into it and we see it for what it is. But most people don't. You can't be living by the collective unconscious and have the mental acuity of the pedestrian mentality. You just can't do it. And I'm afraid most of us have that. I hope that helps, Kenneth. Work on yourself. Don't give up. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question. What if we are the best we'll ever be here on Earth? Oh, my God, Casey. Casey. Oh, they like that. You are seeing the best we'll ever be. Oh, you really are. You see it from the president of the United States all the way down to science, how drug companies want to make money off opioids, and they don't care if it hurts anybody. Nobody cares about anybody in this world. I did a whole series of TV programs. You can go on the website and look at it. Nobody, and I mean nobody, likes you anyway, no matter what you may think. The only way people will even care to love you is if you have something to give them, or you're their offspring. You came from their meat suit. You oozed out of their body. That's it. I once did a discourse on Khalil Gibran's beautiful work on children. And in the discourse, I talked about it. If you don't love my kid as much as you love your kid, you don't love your kid at all. Ugh, everybody got, because we're possessive. We love our children based on them oozing out of our body. That's it. Birth. That's very primitive, primordial. This is the way we live. Cave people. We don't have much empathy, and that's the best we can do is empathy, but we don't even have a lot of that. We have little or no compassion. So this is about as good as it's going to get in this world, what you're seeing right now. And don't think that we're going to turn climate around, because we're not. You've got politicians in there making way too much money. To stop what we've started. There is no way that this is ever going to really change. But, you know, you don't believe me, I'm sure, or you don't want to believe me, but you'll see it doesn't change. Greed is a very big problem in humanity, very big problem. I don't know how many of you understand the nature of greed, but it's a terrible, terrible disease, and it hurts many, many people, millions and billions of people. How do you get a person to stop being greedy? You can't. Even if you show them, look, this is what you're doing to hurt people, they will look at it and go, so? You know, they shouldn't have been there in the first place, or, oh, it's my right to do this, or whatever. Greed. We're fighting for our survival. We really are. Everybody is fighting for their survival. And it's a very, very delicate situation we're in. And it requires compassion, love, consciousness, deep and profound consciousness, which is not something that most people are interested in having at all. So when you start to look at the meaning and the message of what it is to spiritually awaken, most people will say, well, I don't have to do that. And that isn't going to answer the problem, but it will, because it is only in love that we are born. It is only in love we've been created. Deep love, not human love, deep, profound love. I got to go. I'm running out of time. Yike. Thank you for your beautiful question. Casey, thank you. And thank you all for listening. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, won't you? Please? Namaste.